This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Oh, Sally was out of sight. Threw away a wig and a house sneakers too.
Brian Wheeler joins me live in studio. Did you know that was I Want to Hold Your Hand?
Coy, I was getting ready over here and I wasn't even paying attention.
Oh, Brian.
But had I heard it, I think I would have known.
You probably would have gotten that.
I would have gotten that one.
The ones in the rest of the week are a little bit more difficult because I've had to, evidently there's a lot of Beatles fans out there. Who knew? I'm getting emails at home at night from people saying, when are you giving away those tickets?
Wow.
I got to go see this group. Because evidently, like real Beatles fans, I didn't know this, but they know who Rain is. And evidently,
okay.
These people are really, really good mimicking the sound and the look and the feel, and it's like being at a Beatles concert.
When you said rain was coming, I was looking up at the screen over here at the Weather Channel.
It's gonna pour. So how you doing?
Good. You know, last week we got to sit back and reflect, you know, on 2009.
We did indeed.
What were the top 10 stories? The next day, I went to the first Board of Supervisors meeting of 2010. And our rest and relaxation period is over, Coy. They started the year off with a bang.
Well, two of those newest supervisors were just here in studio, and we were talking off the air. I mean, they are ready to go. I mean, these guys are, they're not wasting any time. And they're ready to work.
You had the two newly elected members, Rodney Thomas in the Rio District and Dwayne Snow in the Samuel Miller District. And yeah, they are ready to go, and they cast their first votes last week. I was there to watch them, and it was quite interesting.
So yeah, and we didn't get into this. We didn't get into this with them, but it was interesting. There was that. Remember that was that whole hubbub of Ken Boyd wants to be chairman again. He wants it back. He's going to break a 60-70 year tradition and take it back because he has the votes. And then you could just sort of tell because he just sort of quietly said, "No, that's okay." You could just sort of tell that he realized. I don't have to be chairman to run this board. I have the votes. I'm going to write down my list of priorities. And largely based on what Dwayne and Rodney ran on, I mean, it took his cues, obviously, from that, of what people were voting on, and came up with a list of things and walked in there and said, this is our agenda. This is what we're going to do.
Right.
And they voted on it, and there you go. Off and running.
Well, and Mr. Boyd has been on boards that had stalemates at 3-3 for many years. He's been on the school board where he was in the minority on a lot of votes on the budget in particular. And now it is a different board of supervisors. And I agree. I mean, I don't know what if you want to do something on the board, you just need four votes.
Yeah, you don't need to be chairman.
And maybe he realized that. Maybe he realized the work of running for Congress in the 5th District was going to take a lot out of him as well.
Yeah.
But really, the chair does not have special powers, just like the mayor in Charlottesville.
More of an honorary thing, isn't
doesn't
it?
Have special powers.
More title.
What they have is a whole lot more meetings to go to, and so that they can represent the county and the city at special events, in front of employees, and represent the view of the board.
Right, right.
So, I think he was happy to let Ann Malik try that on.
I was also encouraged by Rodney and Dwayne both. Underscoring and voicing their commitment to bipartisanship and working together and listening and all that, which is it's critical. It's you got to have that or it doesn't work.
Well, and it's easier to say when you're in the majority on that board.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. So we were going to look. Are we going to look today at your predictions for 2010?
Oh yeah,
because I knew we were going to do that. Do you want to do that before we get into all this news?
Sure.
What'd you think of the big news yesterday with the announcement of? The first woman, the 40th year anniversary of women admitted as undergrads. On this 40th anniversary, the woman incoming president for UVA is a woman coming to us from Michigan, Dr. Teresa Sullivan.
I was surprised. I had not heard her name among the names that were being tossed around. So
yeah.
It was a surprise to me.
I thought it was funny how the Daily Progress kept sort of intimating that it was going to be Ed Ayers. They would say, I got to choose a new president. Ed Ayers is unavailable for comment, and, I don't think it was. I don't see how he was ever seriously gonna be the president. I just didn't hear that he was in the running.
Well, she's certainly moving into a challenging position. One of the things I did not hear in her remarks, and I did not listen to the entirety of it, but was reflecting on the local community and cooperation with the city and the county. I'm certain that she will quickly get educated about that issue. And certainly one of the most important things she will do that impacts things you and I talk about is who she hires to be Leonard Sandridge's successor. So the chief operating officer at UVA will have a lot to say about city-county cooperation matters, and I hope she gives that a lot of attention as well.
Yeah, and for folks who are new to the community who don't know the backstory to that, what's been your take on there's a lot of concern that UVA might not be as forthcoming in that cooperation with the local governments, or is it just the opposite?
Well, in certain venues where I watch them about transportation projects, about development projects like the research parks, what I see is UVA saying that they will only cooperate up to a certain point, and they point to the financial challenges of, you know, doing anything more. Of course, local government has similar, if not greater, financial challenges when it comes to building things. UVA has gotten pretty good at building things, as can be seen around the hospital, the South Lawn Project, yeah, new dorms on Alderman Road. So while UVA is able to move forward with its growth and development, the county is often hampered by the fact that it doesn't have those resources. So I think it's interesting sometimes the UVA will come into these meetings and say, gee, guys, could you cough up $1 million each? We'll match it, and then we can do some really great stuff to improve the entrance corridor to the John Paul Jones Arena. And the city and county folks are looking at each other like,
we don't have that money.
Where are we going to get that money?
Yeah.
So it's a different world at UVA. And I'm not sure they recognize fully what's happening in
how broke the city and the county really are.
Neighboring local governments. It's not that, I wouldn't say they're broke, but they're severely challenged in this economic climate.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the budget coming out of Richmond.
Yeah.
So that's my initial reaction.
But it is going to, it's a challenging time to head up this, as far as I'm concerned, the best public institution in the world. It's challenging with this economic climate. She's got her work ahead of her. But I'm actually excited. I mean, I had no idea. I had heard that, you know, wouldn't it be great if somebody say, wouldn't it be great if it was a woman? And I thought, absolutely. If she's the most, I just wanted the most qualified person in the pool to be chosen. If it's a woman, that's fantastic. You know, I didn't care, but it's going to be really exciting to see this because it is incredibly historic.
Absolutely.
Very, very historic. Yep. I think it's good for the community. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Do you want your predictions for 2010?
Yeah. I had not looked at them since I was here last week, so I'm starting fresh here. We'll start with number one.
And these are what exactly? Your...
So this is my prediction for what we will be talking about a year from now, that these will be the top 10 stories of 2010.
Okay.
Now, of course, I might get surprised. You know, another state park may come along that I hadn't thought about.
We were all surprised by that.
But this first one is not a surprise. I think a big story in 2010 is going to be the 50-year community water supply plan. And the reason it will be a big story...
You know what? I think you're correct on that.
Yes, that's an easy one. And the reason is we're going to get more studies in that have been asked for by city council. We're going to get these studies, and it's going to help inform the next steps that the community takes. So this is a big year. In fact, the early part of this year will be when these studies come in, and it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
Number two, the Crozet Master Plan is up for its review. Our master plans in Albemarle County get reviewed every 5 years. The Crozet Master Plan was the first. It was approved in 2004, late in that year, and now it's getting its first five-year review. And some key questions that will be talked about in the Crozet Master Plan in the next month or two have to do with the build-out population for Crozet. What's the target? Originally, the residents felt like it was around 12,000, 12,500. When the plan was looked at carefully after it was approved and after Old Trail Village was approved, the planners realized you could actually squeeze about 24,000 people into Crozet.
So they went in there and got some whiteout and changed it.
The community wants to use the whiteout and bring that number back.
Oh, really?
To 12,000. So we'll see if they can do that. The other thing will be the Yancey Mills Business Park. That's a proposal to take some rural land right behind the Yancey Lumber Mill, which is at 250 and I-64. It's right there along 250.
Yeah, my daughter asked me as we were driving past that the other day. She said, what is that?
I would love to get a tour of that. That's on my list of things to do.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty cool.
The trees come on trucks, and
that's what I told her. They bring the trees in, and they come cut them up, and they send the boards to Lowe's, and you build things with it.
So anyway, that's going to be hot.
So behind that lumber mill,
about 184 acres, including the lumber mill, should that become a new light industrial business park?
Isn't it right along the highway?
It is. It's right along I-64. So there's certainly some issues about the view shed from I-64, the view from 250, but also traffic, also jobs. Is that the right place for new jobs to be? Some would argue, and I think Will Yancey, who's advocating this proposal, would say that the residential housing in Old Trail Village in Crozet needs a job engine to go along with it. And he sees creating a business park as a good way to put local jobs near some of these local homes.
We don't have a lot of that, do we? Like business parks, industrial business parks.
We don't.
I remember when I lived in Florida down in Tampa Bay many years ago, they're everywhere. Those kind of things are everywhere.
A week from tonight, the Albemarle County Planning Commission will get a report from staff about the state of light industrial and business parks in Albemarle County. That report will definitely inform the Planning Commission's review, the community's review out in Crozet, but also the Board of Supervisors. Now, the people out in Crozet say, we've got plenty of places for industry.
I was going to say, might show that you might have a lot of empty industrial space already. And the problem is not lack of space, but lack of businesses to occupy.
Or the size of those parcels, or the potential that they can be rezoned into offices, which is a higher, more expensive use. And maybe they need to change the light industrial zoning to say, you can only do certain things here that don't include offices and other high-end use like that. What they've anecdotally heard from the community is, you know, we need a place to park our lawn repair trucks. We need a place to, you know, park equipment as a small business. So landscaping businesses, tree contractors, whatever. Those typical kinds of equipment implements you see, the big yellow equipment.
Yeah.
And so they've heard anecdotally that that's important. But in Crozet, you've got the old ConAgra facility. Music Today is in part of that. The Star Hill Brewery is in part of that. Right next to that, you've got Acme Visible, the old facility for that Visible Records company, which is out of business now. So along 240, which goes through Crozet, parallels the railroad.
There's a lot of empty space
there. There's a lot of industrial space there. Is it enough, though? Is it enough for the entire county? That's the question the local planners are going to try to get to the bottom of.
So they're going to vote up or down next week?
Next week, the Planning Commission will get that report.
Oh, they're going to get the report.
And that will quickly be factored into the Crozet Master Plan.
I see.
Because the Board of Supervisors is putting pressure on them to review the Yancey Mills Business Park proposal of the Crozet Master Plan. The sense from the community, and I've been out to their meetings, is we don't want the Yancey Mills Business Park. We don't want to expand our growth area in Crozet. And they think there's sufficient room for industry.
Yeah.
Other business leaders, I think, and newly elected members of the board may take a different view.
So that would be right along the highway. Let me ask you this. Does Albemarle County have a written rule about keeping woods along the highway? Because as you drive through Albemarle County on 64, it's starkly different from the experience you get driving through, say, Augusta County on 64. Where you see a whole bunch of neighborhoods and businesses and everything goes right up to the highway. Even people's yards in Augusta County go right up to the highway. Now, I know that's the valley and there's not as many trees historically because there was a lot of grazing and agricultural purposes there. But it's very, very different driving through Albemarle County.
To the best of my knowledge, the answer is no, that there's not a requirement for buffers. One of the reasons you see a different perspective in Albemarle County is that most of I-64 is bordered by rural area land. So the amount of development you can do there is limited anyway. That said, other developers who've come in, a good example is the folks doing the, what's it called, 5th Street and Avon. So that business park that was going to go in between 5th Street and Avon, it's behind the Exxon and the Hardee's that are down there.
Yeah, and the Waffle House,
And the Waffle House on 5th Street. when that developer came in front of them, he went to great lengths to show what the perspective would be from I-64. And he said, you know what, there's a natural hump here. VDOT has its own buffer because they have right-of-way. We can't touch those trees. So I think there's good faith efforts made by local developers
to maintain that buffer to 64. Maintain that buffer. Yeah. What's going to happen to that? Is that going to be a state park too?
The historic view of the dump that's coming out of the side of the hill.
There was supposed to be like a Home Depot down there, and they were going to have that was going to be like the Southern Connector where you could drive from Fifth Street over to Avon.
Well, I think that's a good question, Coy, and I think with Biscuit Run out of the picture, that takes away one of those connector roads that the community was expecting to have. So you may see people come forward and say, you know what, that Southern Parkway that we were going to build between Mill Creek North and Old Lynchburg Road, maybe we need to put that back on the table. If we're not going to have a connector further south in the park, let's put that one back. But you're right. Through that potential business park area where they were going to put maybe a Home Depot, it was going to be called the Bent Creek Parkway. That was going to connect Avon and Fifth Street. So, I'm not sure what the status of that is in this market.
Yeah. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. We're going to break here at the bottom of the hour for local news and get a weather update. And we will continue this conversation on the other side. Speaking of 2010, Brian Wheeler is live in studio with a countdown of what he believes will be the top growth and development stories here in Central Virginia in this 2010.
In no specific order, and we're on number three. I think the discussion about the expansion of Albemarle County's growth areas, especially in the 29 North Corridor, it's going to be an important topic, Coy.
We were just talking with about them today. That's what they were saying.
I think you heard Rodney Thomas and Dwayne Snow both say that because of Biscuit Run being pulled out of the growth area, there'd need to be some compensation.
Recoup
made.
Was the word.
Recoup.
We got to recoup the growth area.
The chief recouper will be Wendell Wood, and he will recommend that some of his parcels in the 29 North Corridor be part of the Places 29 master plan and that is included for future development.
Yeah. And that is where? Just right along 29?
Well, there are four places where the county, and this conversation is going to start tomorrow, Coy. There's going to be a work session on the Places 29 master plan tomorrow. So this new board will get their hands dirty quick. And there are four places. One of them is along 29 North between the Doubletree Inn, the Doubletree Hotel, and Hollymead Town Center. Not that whole stretch, but there's a part in there that's zoned rural area right now.
Yeah.
There's a proposal to make that, upzone that to be commercial. And Mr. Wood has said if that happens, he's going to contribute some money to go towards a bridge over the Ravanna River to help Berkmar Drive be extended up to Hollymead Town Center. So anyway.
Aren't those towers in there around Forest Lakes?
There are some towers in there. Yes, there are.
What are those for? What are those? It's something to do with the airport, I bet.
I don't know the answer to that. Quite.
It's right at the
great
entrance
question.
To Forest Lake South.
Yeah, there's a big tower field there.
Yeah, I guess all this stuff would go around that.
It would.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's moving those towers.
Yeah.
So that's number three, expansion of the growth areas.
There you go. I'll give you a swoosh. Number four.
That feels good. Number four, we have other master plans, notably the village of Ravanna. But that plus Places 29 have both been recommended for approval by the Planning Commission in 2009. Now in 2010, both will land in the laps of the Board of Supervisors. So they will have to decide not only questions like Berkmar Drive extended, expansion of the growth area, but whether they even approve these master plans. So the big discussion around Places 29, and there could be a lot of progress made on this discussion tomorrow. The new supervisor majority could come in and say, you know what? You guys were interested in grade separation on 29. We don't think that's a good idea. Drop it. That could be what's said tomorrow. I don't know that for a fact, but that's something that
could
happen.
That would be a big headline to come out of tomorrow if it does.
It would be. And it'd be a major change, and it would say go back to the drawing board on the transportation side and figure out something that is less costly and less involved in the Places 29 corridor. The business community has long lobbied, don't mess with Main Street in the county.
Which is Route 29 North.
Don't disrupt business there. The groups like the Piedmont Environmental Council have said, and the Southern Environmental Law Center have said, grade separation, was something that VDOT and the county worked together on. Let's fix our local transportation problem for our local drivers, because the problem is local drivers. It's not traffic trying to get through Charlottesville and around Charlottesville. So it's, they're saying the data doesn't recommend a Western bypass because you're only trying to bypass about 12% of the traffic. So anyway, it's going to be a hot topic.
So no graded separate interchanges.
That might come up tomorrow.
No bypass. So what do you do?
Well, they could say put the bypass back on the table. The challenge is funding any of these solutions, of course.
Yeah.
So you could say put that in the long-range plan. I go back, though, Coy, to what Dennis Rooker said, and I predict he would say it again tomorrow, is that there are enough transportation elements that everyone agrees on in Places 29 that they could just say, let's start there.
Yeah.
Let's
worry about the other stuff later.
Let's start with Hillsdale Drive, get that finished, you know, from hydraulic up to where Hillsdale Drive is today at the Senior Center. Berkmar Drive extended. Extend that up to Hollymead Town Center. Let's get the parallel road network in place. Yeah. Let's widen 29 in front of Forest Lake South. It drops down to two lanes each direction.
That's where all those accidents are, yeah.
Let's widen that up so it matches the rest of 29, north and south of it. Let's add another on-ramp in front of Best Buy. So if you're coming southbound on 29, it's easier to get on the bypass.
Yeah.
I think everyone sitting at the table agrees those should be the top priorities. So you may see more of a focus on those things where there's agreement.
That would be good. And that's good government. Let's start with where we agree and not spend all of our time talking about where we disagree. Maybe Places 29 is a working document. It's never really officially finished. There's things on it that you don't necessarily have to decide now. Let's just focus on where we can start and get something positively done.
All of the master plans, as I said before, get reviewed every 5 years. Places 29 would be no different.
All righty, there you go. And the next big news story that we'll be looking at in 2010.
Number five, I think the continuing impact of state and local budget shortfalls are going to be a big story. It's going to be...
You mean the economy, Brian?
I mean the...
You think that's going to be a big story this year?
The impact of this economy on local government, I think, is going to be a big...
Oh, Lord, yes.
Big deal.
Local government and all our home budgets as well.
And I wrote this before the Board of Supervisor meeting last week when they... passed Boyd's agenda for Albemarle County, which we'll talk about. But I said here, officials will consider new proposals to diversify Albemarle's tax base, i.e. increase commercial and industrial property, and proposals to reduce recently adjusted cash proffer expectations in order to encourage new home construction. So I think that speaks to some of the ideas that this new Board of Supervisors wants to champion. Number six, city-county UVA cooperation will get more attention by public and local officials.
You were just talking about that earlier.
And that was before we knew, you know, who the new president was going to be. But certainly, the city council, the Board of Supervisors, they got a lot to talk about. Revenue sharing, water, solid waste, schools, public safety. Are things going to get better or are they going to get worse? That'll be the story. Number seven, master planning of McIntyre Park. So this is a city issue that's going to get underway this year. Assuming the Meadow Creek Parkway continues and a federal lawsuit does not stop that project in the city, then it's time for the community to plan what's going to be for the future of McIntyre Park. One of the ideas that's out there is a botanical garden. That'll certainly get a lot of assessment this year.
Yeah. Mm.
You have thoughts about that, Coy?
I do. I love the idea of a botanical garden, but I think it should be at UVA. Exactly where Mr. Jefferson wanted a botanical garden.
All right.
And I was reading last night a letter that it was either Latrobe or Thornton, a couple of big architects in 1817, I believe it was. Jefferson asked them for advice, and it was Latrobe, Benjamin Latrobe, who won the design. Was he the one that won the design competition for the U.S. Capitol? But he suggested to Jefferson, that was the first time I found it in that letter, he said, and your new university should have a botanical garden as well. But I just think about back in the 70s when they designed McIntyre Park. That design is still sitting over in City Hall. When the whole community got together and said, we want trails, and we want playgrounds, and we want a boating lake and all this, and a merry-go-round and all this stuff. It's a 1970s-era document sitting in City Hall. Well, nothing was done.
They will start the master planning anew. You've got the YMCA coming in on one side of the park. With Meadow Creek Parkway, you've got the opportunity for increased visibility and potentially pedestrian access to the park, and that's a key point for many of the members of the community right now, to make sure that pedestrian connections and bridges across the railroad are part of the final solution there. Number eight, the military base at Rivanna Station, the National Ground Intelligence Center, the Defense Intelligence Agency, that's going to grow big time in 2010. They're still finishing the complex over there, but we're going to start seeing an increasing number of new residents that are part of the defense facility here in Albemarle County. Number nine, Charlottesville and Albemarle will both face challenges from residents concerned about urban infill development. And what I mean by that, Coy, is taking...
What do you mean by that, Brian?
What I mean by that is greater density in our urban spaces. So meaning greater housing density. So whether you're going up vertically higher, you may tear down a two-story building and build a nine-story apartment complex in its place. But getting more infill development in the city and county, both of those localities' comprehensive plans call for this kind of development. They may describe it in slightly different ways. It's certainly more of an issue in the city right now because that's where you're seeing more of this pressure. But West Main Street, you know, what's going to happen along by the Amtrak station? UVA is certainly growing out there. Bill Atwood has got some projects coming in on West Main. And when those projects run into the local community and they see them, they start getting concerned about all sorts of things. In the county, they've gotten concerned about interconnecting this sort of infill development. And in the county, it's more like taking a parcel that's not been developed yet, but it's in the growth area. So Arden Place, out near the Putt-Putt on Rio Road, that right now is a bunch of trees and open space. When that becomes, when it's filled in, what do you hear the residents say? They're like, we don't want to be connected to that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They're concerned about their safety. They're concerned about not having sidewalks in their neighborhood. And if people are cutting through, you know, they're going to have pedestrians that aren't used to being in Woodbrook. And that may be dangerous. So what you hear when these proposals come up increasingly, and I think we'll see more of this in 2010, is people, neighborhoods being concerned about public safety, noise, and increased traffic. The city and county both have to figure out how to mitigate that and sell it to the community as a good idea. Number 10, the last big story of 2010, and it may be on there for 2011 too, Coy.
Uh-oh.
The Landmark Hotel.
Oh, what, yeah.
What will happen to the
Landmark? Already forgotten about it.
if you work,
right when you said it, I was like, if you Landmark work, Hotel,
if
what's
you work
that
around
one?
The downtown mall, you don't forget about it. It is the 9-story hotel that is just a skeleton of a hotel.
That's a shame, isn't it? It's a shame.
What will happen in 2010? Will we make any progress or will we just stay in the courts and keep fighting it out?
Can the city do anything legally to get it out of the hands of the people who clearly aren't building it and get it into the hands of somebody who might have the financing to build it?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, I guess you could do eminent domain, but for what use?
Well, to get it into a developer's hands who might have the financing to do something with it.
But eminent domain that leads to more commercial development is one of the big, you know, controversies about eminent domain, right?
Yeah, but it's not like it's somebody's home and you're going to turn it into a Walmart. It's a half-built hotel or a quarter-built hotel, and you want to finish the hotel.
True.
See what I mean?
But it's a principle people feel pretty strongly about. And
yeah, yeah. And I'm sympathetic to that. Don't get me wrong. But I'm one of those people who would love to see that hotel finished. I mean, it's just a shame.
What tends to what tends to happen more often around here is eminent domain for public purposes. So for roads primarily is the kind of eminent domain that we see.
Yeah. And we've seen that.
Eminent domain to facilitate commercial construction, I think, is highly unlikely.
Yeah.
Oh, but we'll see what happens. I bet we'll be talking about this one in 2011.
Yeah, absolutely. What's it? Real quick, there's a calendar coming up. There's a meeting tomorrow.
Yeah, so tomorrow the Board of Supervisors has their second meeting of the year. They will be having a work session on Places 29. Their meeting the second Wednesday usually starts in the evening. Tomorrow's different. Starts at 9:30 in the morning. There's always an opportunity at the beginning of a Board of Supervisors meeting to come speak under other matters from the public. You can come get 3 minutes and let them know what you're thinking.
There you go. 9:30 tomorrow morning at the County Office Building, the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors meeting. Brian Wheeler, he's the Executive Director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Online at SeavilleTomorrow.com. Brian.org. He joins us every Tuesday afternoon with the latest on growth and development. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
Have a great night. Y'all take care. Talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.